400-verse treatise by Aryadeva, Chapter 8, Training Disciples. Just as dissimilar people will not stay close friends for long when their attachment is gone, likewise desire will not stay for a long time in those who realize the faults of all things. Some have attachment for a certain object or person, some have repulsion for that very same thing, and some are insensitive toward it. Therefore, an object of desire is not truly existent as such. There are no such things as truly existent desire and so forth without conceptual thought in correctly considering them to be so. Who among those with intelligence would hold both the existence of things being fully established by their own self-natures and their existence being established by merely the concepts for them? There's no such thing as any male being inherently bound together with any female. If you were truly existently bound together to someone else, it would be illogical for you ever to become separated. Those with little positive force won't even entertain doubts about this teaching on voidness, but merely by entertaining doubts about it, your compulsive existence will become threadbare. Anyone who has no respect for the teachings of voidness, which the able sage Buddha has said, once realized will bring an increase of your positive force up to liberation, clearly has no intelligence. You might say, I shall pass beyond sorrow with nirvana, but without seeing void phenomena to be devoid of true existence, the thusly gone Buddha has said that you cannot pass beyond sorrow with a distorted view. It's from the Buddhist scriptures, from which the teachings derive on the samsaric world, that you get the discussions about how you enter it because of unawareness. And it's from the Buddhist scriptures, from which the explications of deepest voidness arrive, that you get the discussions about how to turn away from it. If you are brought to generate fear by thinking, if things were devoid of true existence, everything would be totally non-existent, and so what is the use to make effort to gain liberation? Well, if actions actually had truly established existence, realization of this teaching of voidness could not bring the action about of reversing samsara. If you have attachment to your own position of voidness and dislike for the other position of truly established existence, you'll be unable to pass beyond sorrow to nirvana. This is because peace will not come to those who act with grasping for a truly existent duality of what's to be accepted and what's to be rejected. When you realize that there are no truly existent actions to do, you pass beyond sorrow into nirvana. But by doing actions you think are truly existent, you become reborn in samsara over and again. Therefore, as it's no tax to your mind, the state beyond sorrow is easy to attain, which is not the case with the other alternative. How can anyone who has no disgust with this samsaric existence have respect for the state of peace? Like from their homes, renouncing themselves from this compulsive existence they imagine to be pleasant will indeed be difficult for them to do. It can be seen that some people, overwhelmed with suffering, wish to kill themselves. But because of their naivety at such times, it ends up that they don't pass to a topmost pure state beyond sorrow. Buddha spoke about generosity for those of least capacity. He spoke about ethical discipline for those who are middling, and for those who are of supreme capacity, he spoke about voidness, the method to pacify all suffering. Therefore, always aspire to make yourself supreme. First, you turn away from dematerious actions. Intermediately, you turn away from grasping at a gross self, and finally, you turn away from all views of true existence. Anyone who knows these stages for leading a disciple is wise. Buddha has explained that anyone who is the seer of voidness of one phenomenon, that person is the seer of the voidness of everything. That which is the voidness of one thing is, by nature, the same as the voidness of all things. The thusly gone Buddhas spoke about generating attachment to constructive dharmic practices to those desiring higher rebirth. But if this very attachment to constructive practice will spoil the chances of those who would wish for liberation, what need to mention the other alternative, attachment to destructive ones? Those who wish to bring about positive force in others don't teach them voidness every time. Wouldn't medicine prescribed at the wrong occasion become a poison? Just as barbarians will be unable to comprehend teachings in languages other than their own, likewise worldly ones will be unable to comprehend voidness without first understanding the conventional truth about the world. Buddha indeed taught true existence, non-true existence, both true existence and non-true existence, and neither of the two. In accordance with the sickness, can't anything be called a medicine? If you fully see the pure view of voidness, you go to a supreme abode of liberation. If you see it a little, you go to an excellent rebirth state. Therefore, those who are wise should always enhance their intelligence to reflect on the inner void nature of all things. Having realized the facts of reality, even if you do not achieve a nirvana state beyond sorrow in this lifetime, it is certain that you'll achieve it with no effort in your next rebirth, just like what happens with the type of karma that ripens in your next life. It's extremely rare for all actions to bring about their results as intended. Yet, it's not that in these teachings there can be no nirvana release. It's just that meeting the conducive conditions and thus liberation are difficult to find. By hearing that the body has no good qualities, desire and attachment for one will not remain long. Thus, by this very pathway of mind, of meditating on dependent arising, won't your disturbing emotions all be depleted? Just as you can see the end of a seed when it gets burned, although the line it has come from has no beginning, likewise, when you've eliminated unawareness, rebirth will indeed never happen again, because its causes will not be complete.